Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is an emergency edition of Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Saturday morning. That's how you know it's an emergency. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our service minimum out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Sibleyton.
That would be a little weird.
Wherever you are in our great...
A little wordy.
It is a little wordy. Yeah.
Sibleyton?
There's Sibley... And there's Sibleyton.
Okay.
Sibley is in Adams County, so it's down by Natchez.
Yep.
Sibleyton is in Montgomery County.
Okay.
So it's just down the road from here around
Wyoming.
Yeah. So there you go. I don't know. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it is what's for Christmas. Christmas is coming. It's almost time to celebrate. But the biggest celebration on Christmas Day should be when you put the prime rib on the dinner table. You are looking for a fantastic meal this holiday. You've got to go talk to your butchers, talk to your meat market guys, and get that big prime rib or whole beef tenderloin set up for Christmas. That's what makes Christmas special. Family, friendship, fellowship.
Yep.
Is there anything religious that starts with an F? Faith.
Faith.
And food. Make the food beef. Beef fits what's for dinner. Thanks for our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. It's the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. As we're sitting here today, we have a online special. Dogs25 is your code at collegecornerstore.com. You can get 15% off anything. 15% off the whole site for collegecornerstore.com. And Ole Miss fans, if you're listening, and I know that you are, you can use it too. You know what? It's not just for us. That's for you this holiday season. We're sharing with you. Dogs25, 15% off. Check it out at collegecornerstore.com. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need to talk to a banker that knows you by name, not by account number. You need to talk to the good people at Priority One Bank and let them show you how they're going to make you their priority. Robbie Falk, I had a day planned out. I got up a little later than I wanted. I got up a little late. I wanted to sleep in today. Got up about 8:15 or so. And I've already told the story about Robbie. We're gonna replay it though. Had about 50 texts. Now look. Sometimes
it's always a bad sign.
Sometimes my friends, in our group text that we're in, sometimes you and Stefan and John will have like a little late night conversation that I've been in bed for.
They're night owls. I'm kind of in between.
Yeah.
But
the other group I have, my group of friends from Vicksburg, are morning people. So sometimes they get up at like 7 a.m. and they just start talking. I got up at like 8:15. So it's not completely unusual to have that many texts. I read about two of them before I realized I needed to go stop looking at text and go to Twitter, and that's where I saw the news. So let's start at the beginning. Coleman Hutzler fired. That had to happen. We've been talking about it for the past week or so, past couple weeks, and really we've been talking about it since the Arizona State game in 2024. That's when we started saying, I don't know. I don't know about this guy. I'll give Hutzler this and give him respect. Every opportunity I had to speak with him, couldn't have been nicer. I feel like he's a good linebacker coach. I think he can. I just don't know that he's a good coordinator. And maybe he just doesn't need to be a coordinator in an SEC school for his first job. Maybe he was set up to fail a little bit in that, especially when you consider how poor the talent was his first year. But Hutzler out. That's not really the story. The story is the return of Zach Arnett, which I've reached out to some sources. I'm sure Robbie has as well. This is very, very real. It is not finalized as we speak. Now, it may be finalized later today. Hell, it may be finalized in the next 20 minutes while we're still recording. You look like you got something to say over there.
My mouth is open because I can't breathe through my nose.
Yes, Robbie's got a cold. So, cold last week.
I don't have some things to say, but the facial expression is because I can't breathe through my nose.
I got you. Let me finish my rant, and then we'll go.
Ahead.
I had a cold last week, so hopefully my antibodies will protect me from you.
Now, do you have a cough drop over there?
I don't. I'm very sorry.
For once in your life, you don't.
I took it to the egg bowl and ran out, and I haven't refilled.
It's fine.
My bad. Hold on, let me double check. I might. No, I don't. I have some Tums.
I'm good on that, I think.
So anyway,
I forgot to take my acid medicine this morning.
You want Tums?
No, I'm good.
They're chewable. They're fruity.
No, it's good.
Okay.
I don't have acid right now, but if I don't take it,
if you need one, I got them. Okay. All right. Anyway,
I'm over the threshold. I'm 36, climbing into that.
Yeah. No, range. I get it. Anyway, Arnett, as I said, not finalized as of this moment. Could be finalized even as we are recording this podcast, and then that would change the maybe change a little bit of the tenor. So, Robbie, I'll just ask the easy question here. What were your first thoughts when you saw the news that Zach Arnett is returning to Mississippi State as defensive coordinator?
I didn't have any. I didn't know what to think. When I rolled over and I saw that text message at about 8 o'clock, because this is the one day that I actually get to sleep in.
No,
I don't get to sleep in, but on Saturday.
The plan was I was going to wake up about 8. Oh, I overslept a little bit. I was going to try to get a walk-in before Chelsea kicked off. I didn't get the chance to do that because of what happened, because I had to catch up and everything. I was going to watch Chelsea, and then I got a pork belly sitting in the fridge that I was going to cook.
Yummy.
I'm still going to cook the pork belly, but everything else has been scrambled.
Yeah. So, you know, it was a large surprise. I've had this story written on Coleman Hutzer leaving for a week now. So I had to jump out of bed, go in the living room, and post that, and add the part about Zach Arnett, and then for about 15 minutes, I kind of just sat there and thought about it a little bit, and because I wanted to write a column shortly after the news, so I did want to kind of collect my thoughts and think about this.
Yeah, as have I,
and because I really felt like it would be a disservice to just like jump into it and give like a rash reaction to it. And I guess I still did that, but at least I was able to kind of sit back and collect. And I think you have to look at this hire through the lens of, with your blinders on, Zach Arnett, the defensive coordinator. You cannot, under any circumstance, look at it in any way as Zach Arnett, what happened in 2023.
Right.
I don't think that has...
I had a thought on that. So I want to talk you through this. All right. So let's say 2022, Leach passes away, and State decides, you know what, we are going to do a national search. Yeah. And they hire Jeff Lebby. And Lebby says, I want to keep Arnett as my defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
He would have been better.
Which, you know, some people thought like that was a possibility.
Yeah.
I didn't think that there's any way you could do that. But I did know that Zach loved Starkville. He and his family loved Starkville.
He lived here when he was coaching at Ole Miss.
Yes. When he was at Ole Miss, they lived here.
Mm-hmm.
They had great friends here. They absolutely loved this place. So it's not actually, to me, it's not actually like that surprising, I guess. I could see Zach Arnett coming back to Mississippi State at some point.
Yeah.
So, you know, that is what I'm looking at here is Zach Arnett, the defensive coordinator. And Zach Arnett, the defensive coordinator, it seemed to me most everybody was happy with that situation. Even in 2023,
mm-hmm.
what were the things that were the bright spots of that team? The defense. The offense was absolutely the 100% the problem.
Yeah.
The defense
won games for Mississippi State.
And if you here. You know, some people were talking about, you know,
oh,
Mike. Somebody said Mike Leach was the reason.
I just thought of somebody who's gonna be really mad that Zach Arnett's coming back.
Who?
Somebody we keep up with her texts, her tweets.
Oh yeah, gosh.
I'm gonna check that.
There are a few people that are gonna be very upset.
Will Rogers has already spoken.
Yeah, I don't think the Rogers family is a big fan, but I understand that. I understand their line of thinking. They were sold something about that offense. They were going to do right by Will. They were going to do an air raid offense is what they were told, or at least air raid concepts, and they were completely lied to about that.
Yeah.
But again, I think we have to look at this in a different way. Zach Arnett had no idea what he was doing as a head coach. He didn't know how to run a program. He didn't know what the right thing was to do. He felt like the best thing to do was to get away from the air raid, because I think people forget how frustrated everybody, most people were with the offense at that time. It was fairly boring, and it turned into kind of a ball control thing. There were hardly ever big plays, but the defense was the thing that kept people entertained and energized. They were fast. They got after the quarterback. They forced turnovers. They weren't the most talented defensive in the SEC, and they were essentially top five every year that
They
he was
were
here.
3 years at Mississippi State. Fifth, fourth, fifth total defense. I know total defense is not the stat that it used to be, but it's a good starting point.
Well, and if you look at the other things, he was forcing turnovers. Teams were not scoring high scoring games on him. That he had 3 games of 40 or more points. You know how many Coleman Hutzler had
Oh,
in 2 years?
four,
Eight.
eight. Is it eight, really?
Eight of 40 or
Gosh.
more points in 2 years. Zach Arnett in 3 years had three. So he wasn't giving up a lot of points. They weren't giving up explosive plays.
You got me
If you remember
curious on
the
those games, man.
best defensive coordinators against the Veer Shoot, Lane Kiffin
He was
offense,
able to
Jeff
slow
Levy,
down Kiffin enough
was
to stop
Zach
him.
Arnett. Almost every year, Mississippi State had a game plan to slow down what Ole Miss did. So I think that you have to look at it as strictly a defensive coordinator hire. And if you were just, hold on, if you were just looking at Zach Arnett and you had no thought of him being a Mississippi State coach, and you were just looking at what he had done, the resume, blind resume, what he did at Mississippi State,
Yeah,
what he did
his name is
at
Bob Smith.
what he did at New Mexico State, if you just look at that and you made this hire, most people would say really, really good hire. He was a 3-time defensive coordinator, or 3 years he was a defensive coordinator inside the SEC. He had a top five defense. Everybody would be pumped. The only thing that's keeping people from jumping on board with this is how he ended his tenure here. That's the only thing. This doesn't have anything to do with his defense.
Yeah, if you just stop time at the end of the 22 season and fast forward to here, everybody's pleased, I think. You're right. But it's there. The fact that he was fired as the head coach, then he goes to Ole Miss. We've all heard the rumors about UNLV. You said you spoke to a source that said none of that is true, but
Yeah,
I don't.
I don't know.
We don't know.
I've dug into it on the surface. I dug into it when it first happened. And actually, I had someone very close to Zach that messaged me, that went out of their way to message me to say all of this stuff is completely bull. It's not correct. So it kind of took on a life of its own. I had somebody today sharing that he got arrested for, like,
There would be a mugshot and
why
stuff
do
if he
we
got
not
arrested.
have a why don't we
He
have
didn't
an
get
arrest
arrested.
report? So, whatever. But I first of all, too, I want to kind of talk about my reporting on this and how State ended up to Zach Arnett.
Let me do one thing before you start. Because I want you had me curious about those 40-point games that he gave up.
Yeah.
Gave up 41 in 2020 to Alabama, who won the national title. Gave up 49 to Alabama in 2021, who played for the national title, and gave up 45 to Georgia in 22, who won the national title. So you say he only had 3 games in 3 years, and they were all to top two teams.
And it was 1 a year, essentially.
Yes.
So yeah, I mean, he doesn't give up.
It's not a trend, yeah, for sure.
Explosive plays don't happen
All right.
very often.
You wanted to talk about your reporting. So let's start yesterday where you put out that we'll just say that Mississippi State had a person of interest in the search in Brent Pry, the former Virginia Tech head coach. And we'll start there.
All right, so I'm going to start at the very beginning.
Okay.
Because I reported two things that have been heavily scrutinized by other people. Nobody actually comes out and refutes it with their own reporting. They scrutinize mine and start questioning my sources. I'm sick and tired of that. But I'm gonna defend my sourcing on this, which is probably a person that this other person uses as a source as well. But for me, I feel 100% confident in saying that Mississippi State pursued DJ Durkin. They went after DJ Durkin. DJ Durkin considered Mississippi State's offer. He had a good offer on the table. Mississippi State was going to pay him a lot of money to be their defensive coordinator, and Durkin decided that he was going to stay at Auburn. And I felt like that was where he was leaning all the way. I never felt like I anticipated Mississippi State was about to hire D.J. Durkin.
There was interest in D.J. Durkin, and that was what you reported.
Yes, there was interest in D.J. Durkin to the point where they were talking money figures, and he was perfectly fine with the money that he was making. I felt like they had a competitive offer for him, more than what he was probably going to make it at Auburn, and Auburn decided to retain him. That was his. That was number one what he wanted to do. He wanted to stay at Auburn because he did not want to move his family again.
Right.
He and his family were happy at Auburn. They have, I think they have a kid in high school. You get to a stage, this is going to be the case for both coaches. You get to a stage where you've moved around a lot. You've made a lot of money. Money is no longer that important to you because you're already making a lot of money.
All right.
So what is a priority for you is being with your family. They're happy where they are.
Right.
Like, that is a factor.
Right.
So that's what happened with D.J. Durkin.
I remember the Brian O'Connor stuff. There was a lot of talk about, like, does he really want to move after all these years?
Yeah.
He's got money.
Yeah. So then you move on. The next, who I believe was option number two, was Brent Pry. I think Jeff Lebby was targeting a proven defensive coordinator, someone that has actually done this, that was, as I mentioned last week or this week, a grown-up that – and I'm not taking a shot at Coleman Hutzler, like not being a grown-up, but he had never been a defensive coordinator.
Right.
He didn't know what he was doing. So Brent Pry has coached defense at a very high level.
Right.
He coached Micah Parsons at Penn State. His linebackers were All-Americans. He had one of the best defenses in the country at Penn State. And I know the numbers were not great at Virginia Tech, but you can't judge a defensive coordinator, a head coach, on his defensive numbers when he's head coach.
Right.
When he was calling a defense, he was fantastic. So that was the next target, and I believe he was listening to Mississippi State. But with the same thing that happened with D.J. Durkin, he's a guy that is kind of, right now, he's thinking about staying in that area or being around the East Coast. They don't want to make a major move. His family doesn't want to make a major move. So it was tough for Jeff Lebby to go out and convince coaches, established defensive coordinators, guys that have options, to go convince them to come to Mississippi State and move their families.
I think it's also important to say that something we talked about, Lebby is on the hot seat.
Yes.
And so that's another thing. Do you want to uproot your family for, for maybe 10 months?
And so people criticize that, like saying it's like Lebby can't convince them. Well, I mean, I think you have to be realistic about this. He, at this point, Jeff Lebby is 7-17. He's on the hot seat. He's never been a head coach before. These coaches don't want to take the chance of uprooting the family, moving them again, and coming to Mississippi State just because they're going to get a paycheck. I think a lot of people look at this the same way they do NIL and transfer portal. You can't just write a check and everybody's going to sign up.
Right.
That it doesn't work that way. There are so many circumstances that go into a decision like this, and Durkin and Pry did not believe that it was worth it to make this move right now. And Durkin, you know, staying in a place where he's already had success, it just kind of makes sense for him. Pry, I don't really know what his next step is. You know, there's actually been some talk of him returning to Virginia Tech, which.
Well, I mean, it would be the same thing we're talking about.
It would be very similar, except he was just
He was just there, yeah. So, I mean, he worked with Franklin at Penn State.
I do think he is mulling that. I do think that that is an option for him, and his family could stay in Blacksburg.
It's welcome home season.
Yeah, so.
Welcome back.
This is it's interesting. It's an interesting situation, but I think what Lebby was looking at here is you're looking for an established head coach. It's kind of tough to find guys willing to uproot their family right now that fit what you want. And he looked at Zach Arnett, and he saw a coach that loved it in Starkville, that was very good at what he did defensively here.
Right.
And he knows the culture here. He knows all that. But most importantly, Jeff Lebby is not going to meddle with the defense. This is going to be a situation like what he had last time when he was here, where Mike Leach just allowed him to do whatever he wanted. I mean, I don't think people understand this when they talk about, you know, Mike Leach was the reason for his success or whatever. Leach literally did nothing with the defense intentionally. He right. wanted to focus on the offense.
He stayed away.
That's why he hired Zach Arnett
yes.
to control
them. Arnett told us that, and like he told the public that several times. He's like,
when, here's what happened with all right. So Leach was a guy that would stay up until 3 a.m. in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and he would show up at like noon. Zach Arnett is
the opposite
at the facility at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
So the defensive staff did their thing, and the offensive staff did their thing. And that was, from what I'm told, that was a Leach thing for years. Like, the defensive staff just kind of handled their own business, and the offense did theirs. It was two separate, completely separate parts of the team. And, you know, that's how Zach Arnett operates. So we know now Zach Arnett is a proven defensive coordinator that has run that side of the ball exclusively
mm-hmm.
by himself
mm-hmm.
with his staff
right.
for 4 years, because he did that as a head coach too with Matt Brock.
Correct.
So that is what Jeff Lebby felt was the biggest factor, is like, this guy has run a defense in the SEC here
mm-hmm.
that's been really successful with himself, you know. So that is that's essentially what they felt would be the best fit here. And here's my thought process on it when I'm thinking about the hiring of Zach Arnett, rehiring. I will put whatever money you want down and say there is no way it's going to be worse.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I absolutely agree with that.
To
yeah.
me,
you can't be wrong on that.
To me, it's a safe hire. I don't mm-hmm. know how high the ceiling is.
It's low floor, though.
But the floor is
high floor.
The floor is way higher with Zach Arnett than it was with Coleman.
If he duplicates what he did previously at Mississippi State, you are an eight. If you had Zach Arnett's numbers on defense this year, this is an 8-9 win team. I mean, no question about it.
And I think, too, what might have been a factor in this is they are really, really high on this linebacker group, the mm-hmm. young linebackers.
Mm-hmm.
I think that probably factored into this. Like, this guy's been really good at coaching linebackers. He has Zachary Tillman, Tyler Lockhart, Jalen Smith, a lot of young linebackers in that room that mm-hmm. they are really high on that Zach Arnett can take to the next level. So, and you know,
which he did with, you know, Mookie Watson, and Jet Johnson was an all-SEC guy under him. Yeah.
We're hearing that Matt Brock is likely to return.
Yeah.
Not official, obviously, but
speaking of Jet Johnson,
he's coaching UConn in the bowl game.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is when, do we know?
I don't know.
Okay.
I
guess we'll find out tomorrow. Yeah.
So I think we're going to have to wait and see on that. But that's where they're leaning, is bringing Matt Brock back, which is, he was a defensive coordinator at State in 2023.
Yeah.
So he ran the defense. And legitimately ran the defense. Zach Arnett stayed off of that. So he would step in every now and then.
You and I would agree Zach Arnett stepped off quite a bit as the head coach at Mississippi State.
Yeah. So,
all right. Let's continue the discussion. Let's do it. Let's move into that. And that's brought to you by our friends at Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the Older Brother. Two great places to grab lunch or dinner here in Starkville. If you want to enjoy a fantastic meal, I can tell you how to do it. Just head over to the Cotton District. Two Brothers gift cards are a great stocking stuffer. Just stop by Two Brothers Smoke Meats and pick one up today. You will make somebody have a very merry Christmas when you give them the gift of smoked Southern soul food at Two Brothers Smoke Meats. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for 50 years.
50.
He's got that deep voice today. He's, you know.
50, 50.
50. Let's see how 50. It's about as deep as I'm going. That was high.
Yeah.
If you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. If you need a new copier, a new printer, new computers. The thing to know is, after the phone call, if you got a problem, you call that same number. You talk to the same people. You already know them. They know you. They could probably be there the same day. Why? Because they're in Mississippi and you're in Mississippi. They make it easy for you. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Great products, great service. I just did that.
Yep. We can do 50 again if you want to.
Go ahead.
50.
The Maroon & Co. is the place to go for some great Mississippi State gear. I was at Maroon & Co. just the other day looking around. They have so many cool polos and pullovers in there. I may have picked one up for somebody. And I use the promo code myself. I'm not just a I'm also a client of the Thunder 15 code. Great people at Maroon & Co. If you are looking for Mississippi State gear, shop there or online at maroonandco.com. The place to go for your Mississippi State merchandise is Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden, they do sell furniture.
They do. I've made a joke about that, but they actually do.
And then our friend Jonathan reached out to us and was like,
it's
oh, yeah.
Superstore.
Yeah. Guys, you're not – I don't think people are getting it. This place has everything. All right? I talk about the John Deere stuff all the time, and they got plenty of that. But, man, there's just nothing you can't buy at Scruggs. I'm at the point now where I think if you came in there and were like, I need a horse, he would order it for you. He'd find a way. They do have – they have chickens. A little chicken.
Horse of a different color, like a green horse comes.
Well, now we're putting.
Can I get a
horse that's John Deere green?
Yeah,
that's what I want
on a hot summer night.
I mean, technically, that is a lawnmower. You put a horse out there, it will eat the grass.
Yes.
So, Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden, Saltillo, Mississippi. They have what you want for less. Are you a landowner in the state of Mississippi? You need to know the name Good Hope Land and Timber. Whether you own a couple hundred acres or a couple thousand, Good Hope Land and Timber is here to help you maintain and sustain your land. If you're looking to buy or sell land, Good Hope Land and Timber can help you with that as well. They've been helping people buy and sell land here in the state of Mississippi for decades. Doesn't matter what question you have about your land or the land you're trying to buy or sell, Good Hope Land and Timber has an answer. Locally trusted, landowner approved, Good Hope Land and Timber. Yeah, I mean, just like... This, what a day. This is something.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to give some credit, though. Two times in a row for Jeff Lebby, he has pulled somebody out that nobody was expecting at defensive coordinator. Yeah. Nobody knew who Coleman Hutzler was 2 years ago, and now with Zach Arnett, nobody expected a return.
This is
ninja-esque.
But, another thing that we need to talk about now is staffing. You cannot... If you're Jeff Lebby, you have to say, all right, you just we'll talk this over, but it's you have full autonomy here for staff. I'm not going to tell you who to keep or whatever. You've got a clean house on the defensive side of the ball, and like I hate it for those guys.
Yeah,
it's got to be. You can't have any remnants of what you just had. You've got to get rid of everybody that you have on the defensive side of the ball. Maybe Vincent Dancy would remain.
Yeah.
Corey Bell, you can't hold on to Bell at this point. That's been one of your.
I think he just can't be in our social club anymore.
So what do you think?
Yeah.
I just have a feeling that is going to be like Corey Bell is going to be used as like a reason that Kelly Jones comes back
mm-hmm.
and or stays.
You cannot.
You can't make a decision
based off
that.
Players.
No,
players are replaceable. The program is more important.
And so I've talked to a couple of different people about this. They don't know what's going to happen with the rest of the staff, at least in the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm still expecting a change on the defensive line with David Turner. Mm-hmm. I'm hearing that Dancy might stay, which I don't know if I have a problem with that or not. I mean,
he had a good signing day.
He did. You get Micah Nickerson. You get Addison. So, I mean, you added some good pieces there. And, you know, they did improve, I guess, that position. They're going to have to go out and get – because this is a 3-3-5 defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another thing to consider. You have the personnel already. You're not bringing in a guy where you got to, you know, this isn't like going from what Moorhead did to Mike Leach.
Yeah.
You've already had a 3-3-5 guy. You're bringing in a better 3-3-5 guy.
Yeah. So, and you're going to have to get you're going to have to go to the portal and get a defensive, a strong defensive tackle, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Probably an edge rusher too, legit edge rusher as well. Will Whitson, obviously, if you can get him back for another year, which I think they will, is going to be huge for that. But I like the linebackers. Mm-hmm. I think the linebackers in this defense have a chance to be really good. And you don't have to worry about, like, what is State's actual identity? Mm-hmm. Like they run three down, but he's talking about multiple. Like, are they actually multiple? Are they a 3-3? Are they a 3-4? I mean, what are they running? this is a legit 3-3-5. You know exactly what Zach Arnett's doing.
There's no multiple anymore.
Zach Arnett is a disciple of the 3-3-5. The Joely Dunn era type defense is what Zach Arnett runs. So a lot of people are sick of the three down linemen, but to me it revolves around personnel. And State's got to go out there and get the personnel that they feel like can run this defense. Mm-hmm. They need the defensive lineman. They didn't have it.
They need a guy in the middle. They need a big time nose outside of the after the offensive line. To me, I know you're not going to find this particular guy, but I'm going to say a Jeff Simmons. Hell, no. A Cam Young.
Yeah.
Stipe nose tackle is a
which
big
was an
call.
Arnett guy.
Yeah.
You're Cam Young 100%. Arnett guy. So, you know, obviously, if you get a guy like that, that'd be great. Which Calvin Dinkins, I thought, made a big jump.
He'd be that guy.
Yeah.
If he's healthy.
Need to add more.
Yeah.
They're going to have to add more defensive linemen, dynamic defensive linemen. I'm very interested to see because that staff did not recruit very well. But how much of that was on the recruiting staff at the time? If you look at some of the pieces there, you know, they didn't go out and offer Justin Wally. They didn't. They missed on a few other guys that they kind of misevaluated.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he was kind of hamstrung a little bit on what he could do what he could do recruiting wise. So I'm not saying that he's going to be a world beater in recruiting, but the staff that they have now I feel a little more competent when it comes to getting out and offering players and evaluating.
And Lebby has to be smart about that too as well. He's got to tell Arnett, like, look, we got to get a couple of dynamic recruiters on the staff. We need that.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have it with Turner, with Bell, even with Matt Barnes.
That's what's huge here is, like, he's got to nail these hires. Like, Corey Bell has not proven anything as far as a recruiter. Since he's been here, he didn't recruit Kelly Jones out of high school. That was not a Corey Bell guy. Like, that was – you know, Darcell McBath was the guy that recruited and evaluated and brought in and coached the NFL caliber defensive backs in Mississippi State had.
Right.
You know, obviously there was some concerns about Darcell McBath earlier, but I think he started to prove some people wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We have not seen any of that yet from Corey Bell. And how much credit do we give Paul Rhodes
mm-hmm.
at that position? State was better this year, defensive back. They added a coach in there. Is that a Paul Rhodes thing or is it a Corey Bell? I guess we won't know. But, you know, this fan base is going to riot if they don't make a change at that spot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going ahead and, Jeff Lebby, if you're listening right now, I'm going to go ahead and warn you. If that's the direction you go, this fan base will riot.
Yeah.
No matter who you hire,
you're
the coordinator, if you keep some of the staff in place.
You're correct.
It's going to be a dumpster fire within this fan base. So,
I mean, even if you just keep Corey Bell, that's the one who's got
it. I mean,
go.
I came out and I was like, there isn't a decision yet, and people were already kind of melting. So, that's got to be like non-negotiable.
And then, you know, we haven't talked about it, but is Cliff Odom gone too? Is that part of this thing? I don't think special teams were a particular strength this year, and
they weren't very good.
In some ways, they were good. I thought Ferry, he missed a couple field goals. I still think he made the one at Florida. I'm not going to hold that one against him.
Ferry, I thought, was outstanding.
I thought Pulliam was relatively consistent. But
Pulliam was great.
But they going back and forth with the punters was a thing.
The kick return
game was really bad. Really bad.
And also defending on the return.
Yeah, obviously, you know, you lost the game because you couldn't do a punt return. So I get Cliff Odom is probably another guy that's in trouble there for Mississippi State. So you just have to wait and see.
Yeah, and we'll see on the offensive staff. I haven't
still waiting on some things there.
You know, there's a couple things that can happen there. Mm. But I'm not. Obviously, you got to fix some things in the offensive line. But to me, when looking at in totality this team. There's a lot of the reasons so many things are kind of showing up right now with the offense is because there's so much pressure to score. There's so much pressure to be perfect on offense because your defense has been so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there were times where they kept things like afloat on defense, but at the end of the day, whenever the dust settled, the end result was the defense was awful.
Yeah.
And so they had their moments, but they were just downright bad. If you get this defense inside the top 50 or whatever metric you want to use, if this defense is competent enough to consistently get off the field like they did with Zach Arnett, to force turnovers, that was holding that team together for a lot of the Mike Leach time period here. If you get that, I promise you that the results will bear in Mississippi State's favor, because I think that this offense is going to consistently be a 32 to 35 point per game offense.
Yeah,
the offense is
next year with
not
Taylor
your biggest
for sure.
issue.
Yeah,
and so that's the biggest thing, is you got to get the defense fixed, and there's some things you got to fix on offense, but the mean of the offense is a good offense.
Well, I think the things you need to fix on offense, you can easily fix in the portal.
Yeah,
like if you go out and get some offensive linemen, you'll be fine. You get another receiver to replace Brennan Thompson, you're off and running on the offense. Defensively was broken beyond just the talent. The scheme was the problem. The coaching was the problem. So bringing in Arnett, you hope, fixes that, because you know that's a guy. You know that he can scheme in the modern-day era of the SEC because he's done it. And so it's going to be about, if you fix that problem, then you can go out and attack and get some good players.
Yeah.
Gosh, well, we're still a month away from the portal opening up. State is going to have to be uber aggressive.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking, they signed 31 guys, if I'm correct, for the high school class. You're probably talking about another 30 to 40 players. This is going to be a completely remade roster. Taylor, Bothwell, Evans, on the defensive side of the ball, Isaac Smith, Calvin Dinkins, the linebackers. But, there's a lot of new faces coming to Mississippi State.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with Kelly Jones. Yeah.
They desperately need a couple of really good defensive linemen. They need a really, really good pass rusher at the edge. They need to replenish that cornerback room and evaluate and get better players there. They probably need a safety or two on defense. Offensive line's got to be really good, evaluated well. Probably another receiver or two. There's some rumblings out there about trying to get Brennan Thompson another year.
That would be huge.
That would
make it happen.
It obviously would. I don't, it might be tough. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot that has to happen for this team in the offseason. So they're on the clock. This is a huge offseason for Jeff Lebby. It's probably the difference between being a head coach in 2027 and not.
Are you going to laugh if it goes bad and mid-October, Zach Arnett's the interim coach?
Again. No, I'm not going to laugh.
Not going to laugh. But
there will not be a single laugh coming.
There will be something, though, so we'll see. All right. We can record tomorrow, too. We're not going to let this carry the weekend, are we?
It depends on what happens.
Okay.
Let's for now, let's make this.
Right.
This
is going to be our football tomorrow for basketball anyways.
This is going
to
be – let's let this be our weekend pod.
Okay.
If something happens, if some serious moves happen,
Okay,
we'll do that.
All right, sounds good to me.
We'll just say this is our Sunday to Monday pod.
Okay.
And go from there. I think we've covered what we need to cover.
That works for me. All right, guys, we'll talk to you again when we talk to you again. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.